herzlich willkommen bei Flying Hearts – Business Meets Soul. Wie du dein Herzensbusiness erfolgreich in die Welt bringst. So schön, dass du da bist.
Hallo ihr Lieben.
Hi.
Wir haben heute einen wundervollen Gast bei uns. Eine meiner absoluten Lieblingsfrauen, die auch schon bei mir in einem Live-Call dabei war. Und das ist schon auch gleich die Ankündigung, dass wir das Interview heute auf Englisch machen. Und deswegen switche ich jetzt gleich mal in Englisch. Und an alle, die jetzt denken, oh nein, das verstehe ich nicht. Wenn du mit dem Herzen zuhörst, bin ich mir sicher, dass du genau das für dich rausnehmen wirst, was du für dich brauchst. So, to switch into English, we have a super special guest today. And what I just said in German, Charlotte, is that I said I have one of my favorite women here today in the podcast. And that's why we're doing the podcast in English, because you're from Finland. And well, Finnish is not my language either, so that we will do in English. And we're super happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'd love to throw the ball to you. Maybe you want to introduce yourself real quick. Like, who is Charlotta? Who are you? Like in a few sentences, what are you doing? And who is that beautiful woman?
Thank you so much, Alexandra and Christian. It's so lovely to be here. Finally, we've been trying to get this together for such a long time, and here we are. So yes, as Alexandra said so beautifully, I am Charlotta. I'm from Finland, and I don't speak German either. This is why you're going to get to catch me in English now also. So you're asking me who I am and who Charlotta is. Like, I actually genuinely think that I am many things. I am not only doing many things, but I also am many different women in that sense. And I will do my best to shed light on all of them for you, so you can maybe start recognizing all the different women that you may be, as well as listeners, if you recognize that too within yourself. So what I do for work is that I work as a sensuality empowerment coach. And I do that under the name of Creator of Superwomen. And this is really something that, yes, it's my job, but it's also my lifestyle. It's also my passion. It's also like everything that I live and breathe. And I feel like every single step along the way in my life, in my career, has taken me to this point of empowering women within different aspects of their lives as I kind of stepped into their soul after having empowered myself. So that's a little bit on that, and yeah, let's start there, shall we?
Amazing. I think that was the most beautiful introduction ever, you know, just the way you said you're many, many women, and you know, and we all have like all these aspects in us. So I think that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Amazing. All right, so Christian,
I'm curious.
Christian doesn't know Charlotta as much yet, so this is also a beautiful possibility for him to get to know her.
But I want to start at the end. So, what is a superwoman?
Oh, I love it! Thank you for asking, Christian. So, if you look in the traditional sense of what a superwoman is, like this is a very old way. Like if you were to look it up in a dictionary, you would most likely get something like a superwoman is a woman who maybe is a mother. She's a full-time worker. She's looking after her house, her home, her children. Like she does everything. And, you know, she basically does all of the things all the time, juggling all the balls. We all know that type of person. To me, I do want to break that though. To me, a superwoman is not someone who does all the things. It's rather someone who is really true to herself, and she's connected to her inner self. I call it the inner woman, that inner knowing, the inner knowledge, and really allows herself to be truthful with herself and present in her life as she chooses it to be. And it's not formalized on what society is expecting of you, but rather than what you desire yourself. So to me, that's a superwoman, someone who's connected to her own desires and internal wisdom.
Amazing, huh?
That's funny, because I was first thinking about the female part, like Superman, you know, the superhero, and then the superwoman. But maybe it's somewhat connected because the superhero follow his own purpose and his own mission and his own being. Yeah?
True.
And it's more about be what you are and not try to be something different.
Mm. That's really beautiful. Amazing. I really like that you pulled it to that, because I do feel as well that we've kind of, as a community, as a society, we have conditioned to think that way. Like a superman, a superhero is someone who does something, you know, from their inner core of what they desire to do, what they know is right. Whereas a superwoman has gotten that taint of she does everything for everyone else. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So I think, it's true. Huh?
Yeah.
I like that. So what else would you like to know? No, let's go. You know what I would like to, from here go back a little bit further, you know, a few years maybe from now, because, well, looking at your life, of what I know is that even before you started to working as a sensual and empowerment coach, you did not work in an office 24/7, at least not for a long time, not since I know you. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious how what path have you come from, you know, where did you come from? If you go back like 10 years from now or even 15 years from now, who was Charlotta back then? And how did you end up where you are at right now and today?
Thank you. So actually I have been working in office. I did 5 full years in an office in London working in finance. So I have.
You gotta be kidding me.
So I have done that. I've been wearing lots of different hats, and you know, this is probably like, now I'm looking at that part of my career and I think that was a very strange choice for me to do, but at the same time it makes so much sense that I did that, because during that role, which was so out of my comfort zone and also not necessarily within my passion, I still found so many things that I was passionate about within that job. So for me, within that particular part, and I will talk about the previous things I've have done before, but for this job within finance, within London, my role was within recruitment, and I was meeting with all of these fantastic people all over London. And that is for me like a huge passion, the connection to people. And I think hadn't I had that within the finance aspect of my role, then I wouldn't have enjoyed the job most likely. But because I had that deep connection with humans on a daily basis, it really just made that job also like really exciting for me for that time. But as we know, I've left that job because everything wasn't aligned and I'm now doing very different things. But before I lived in London for 5 years and worked within this financial recruitment company, which I loved, great people to work with as well, I was working as a flight attendant for a 5-star airline in the Middle East. So I was traveling the world, and this is around the time that I was very much in my full-on maiden stage, just like traveling and living life and spending all my money and being irresponsible, but still in some ways really responsible, because I never missed my flight. I was never late with them. I really looked after myself, and I really flourished into being super independent. And I think this is probably the first time that I really recognized that I am a very powerful woman, in the sense that I can really look after myself. Yes, I made loads of mistakes, like so many mistakes with my finances and, you know, like all of these things. But I, at the same time, was I started recognizing that there's something within me, like I want something more, and I have the power to choose myself, what it is that I desire. So that was a really powerful realization in my early 20s. And to go before that, I was brought up in Finland, but I left Finland when I was 19 and I went to New Zealand just because I had watched Lord of the Rings and I got so mesmerized with the landscape. And I decided that I wanted to go to Elfland, you know, and I wanted to go to the Lord of the Rings countries. So I went to New Zealand, literally based off that movie, and stayed there for a while before I then moved to the Middle East for the airline job. So in terms of like professional careers, I've done many different things, been wearing different hats. But what happened as I was leaving my corporate job in London is that I started freelancing. So I was working within social media. This is a time when I also started modeling more. And then I found myself in LA working as a social media manager, working as a model, as a makeup artist. And this is where my freelance world started like 5 years ago. And then this is probably around the time that the creator of Superwomen started formalizing. She didn't have a name yet. She didn't fully know what she was doing, but she knew that she wanted to reclaim her own power, and she knew that she wanted to support other women in doing so as well.
Wow. See, a lot of lovely things I didn't know. That's incredible. Do you want to, like, you know, you just explained beautifully, like, how your past looked like.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to go one layer deeper, and maybe you can take us a little bit on the layer, on the emotional layer that was underneath. And how did Charlotte feel in these different, stages, in these different times of her life, you know, like working in London, and also like what made you leave, and how was your process to become the woman that you are today? Were the times that you were maybe struggling, you know, just a little bit of your insight, because a lot of times this sounds amazing, but I believe, I can imagine that there's a layer beneath it that looks a little bit different.
It does. It does look very different. And I've not even been one to try to share a layer of something that is just the outside layer, but it's what people pick up on, like what they see and what they themselves is projecting on you from what they're experiencing. So even if I've tried to advise and say that, you know, these things were difficult and this is how I was feeling, not many people actually have realized that during the time. And it's only now when I'm in the position I am now as the creator of Superwomen, when I'm sharing my story, that people seem to hear it. And it's really interesting, because at the time of it happening, maybe I wasn't communicating it as well, but also I feel like people weren't really receptive to hearing it, because they had a different perceptive of what I was doing and what my life was looking like. I have always been a very emotional, naive girl. And I really have to say that it's only in the last 5, 7, 8 years that I become a woman, even if I physically became a woman way before that. But I was very, I don't want to say I was tormented in my level of torment. Like, of course, there are different layers and different levels of tormented and difficulty that to be had. But for me, it was I had a very dark period of my life, especially throughout my 20s. I was very insecure. I was very jealous within my relationship that I was in. I experienced the relationship to be extremely toxic. And it's only in the recent years or so that I recognized that I have also added to the toxicity. It wasn't just coming towards me. I was also bringing it in. So that's been a huge revelation, and so many different layers that have been peeled off, in particular on this particular, in this scenario. But even when I was living in the Middle East and I seemingly was living in a fantastic life, I really was. But what was happening at the time, I was very happy and I was very content and I loved my life, and I was doing my dream job of working as a flight attendant and traveling the world. Like, that's all I wanted since I was a child. So I was, of course, I was literally in the skies. So I was so happy. But looking back at that time, I was too young in my mind to really recognize the beauty around me. So I was living for the thrills. I wasn't living for the depth at the time. So it was very much like the surface level pleasures that I really dove into. And I had a very hard time grounding myself and anchoring myself in gratitude. And it was all the, you know, the explosive joys of happiness and excitement that I was living for a very long time. And then moving to London, I kind of
What made you leave that job, love? I'd love to know why you left the job that was your dream from your childhood on, and why you moved to London.
So this is a complicated answer, and the simple answer I have been giving myself for like the longest time. I mean, there's so many layers to this, and I feel like I'm still maybe uncovering some of them the more I get to know myself, because I feel like I do that every day. But my initial response would have been, let's say you would have asked me this question as I was leaving, my first response would have been that the facade of the Middle Eastern country I was living in was kind of unveiling. And I started recognizing that the actual location itself was very corrupt. And I found it very difficult to see how the cities were being built. As a, you know, simply put, like it was very unfair on the workers. It wasn't set up in a fair way in any way. So like that whole unveiling really came as a reality check, and I wasn't really ready to hold it. So that was one of the reasons when I started seeing the glamour side actually being contrasted with such an ugly humanitarian problematic side. And that was one reason. And then the other reason was that I was head over heels in love, and I wanted to be with my then boyfriend, who was living in London at the time. So I decided to move to London. And this is something I have done. I've been I've moved mountains in my own life to fit into other people's lives. And that's been a very hard truth and reality to swallow as someone who counts herself as an independent woman, because I recognize that I have been carrying a lot of, attachment mm. towards people. So this is something I've had to really work on in my older years, in my wiser years, to really kind of be able to detach and actually be independent in a healthy way. So this is like the two obvious reasons of why I left, but I also feel like there were parts of me that I kind of knew that I couldn't live like that forever, because it was too thrilling, you know, there was too much excitement to it. And I'm all for the adventure, I'm all for the excitement, but I recognized there were parts of me that started yearning for something more grounded, something deeper. And I'm a woman known for her extremes. So I will either be like at the very top of the adrenaline hill, or I will be at the very bottom, at the very depths. And, you know, this is how I lived for a very long time, especially growing up through my 20s. I'm now in my 30s recognized, and I've found ways to balance this so I can have the thrills and I can have the grounding and I can have them together. Whereas before it was one or the other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I had a few tears in my eyes while you were telling that story until now, and it's not done yet. I don't know why, because all of a sudden there was like so much depth, and that's, you know, a lot of times when people just look on the surface, they don't really see what's underneath.
Mm.
Yeah, and the moment you started telling that, I was like, oh my gosh, well, this is really you, you know, like also you. Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And another story on the extremes is, I would really count, and I say this also within my teachings and the things that I've learned, about the feminine, the masculine energy. Like I hold both of them, and I feel very balanced within both of them now, and I can call upon them when I need them in separate ways or together or whichever. And I feel very safe within my feminine, and I feel very held by my masculine. It's really beautiful. And throughout my early parts of my 20s, especially was when I was living and working in the Middle East, I was so much in my feminine. So I didn't really have that safe container for expression, and I didn't really have that the kind of dominance that I would have needed to keep track of myself. So this is why I was also like in the fast thrills, because I didn't really have that grounding. But then what happened in London is that I moved into my masculine, and I became very pushy, very dominant, very kind of lost track of the excitement, and actually became very stern and quite aggressive. Like not aggressive in an unpleasant way towards others, but aggressive towards myself, like internally. So again, that's the extremes. And I can really see that, like from the perspective of I was very much in my feminine, then I was very much in my masculine. And I brought that masculine energy with me throughout, like for a very, very long time. And eventually I hit burnout because of it as well, because I really just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed on different things, and I didn't even know what I was pushing for.
Yeah. Wow. And then if you want to, I'm just going to, let's finish the story here. I think it's amazing. Like when you were in London, do you also want to continue? Like how did Charlotta feel there, and what made you, you know, like also like after 5 years decide to leave London? Mm. And how was your path until today?
So in London, my first few years there was actually really difficult. I arrived from the Middle East, which is sunny and warm pretty much every single day of the year. And moving into London, I think it was end of October when I arrived, and they had their coldest, darkest, wettest winter that winter. And I remember I had accepted a job just for the job so that I could have money. And it was not the job that I then ended up having, but the first job I had just to kind of get the job. And I kind of moved to London with this beautiful vision of I'm going to create my own Sex and the City crew. Like I'm going to have girlfriends, and we're going to be close knit, and I'm going to live in London, and I'm going to have this life of freedom with sisters, basically. And what happened in the first week of me being there, because I got really excited because my coworkers were all women. And what sadly happened then is that I was rejected, and I was rejected really, really strongly, to the point that I would actually say it was adult bullying. And that really affected me in a very powerful way. It brought up a lot of old wounds, because I was also bullied in school by girls when I was younger, when I was a kid. So it brought up a lot. And I was in a very dark place. It was natural. I mean, it was dark because the weather was dark. And also I was in a very dark place internally. I had a very hard time adjusting, had a very hard time fitting in. I didn't finish that contract. I ended up leaving. So I'm very happy that I managed to still say, no, this is enough. I can't be here. So I left. And basically over the next 3 or 4 months, I took time off and I just lived in London in my apartment and basically spent all of my savings, because London is an expensive city, but basically spent all of my savings as I wasn't working, just to kind of give myself some grace and calm to heal. But I wasn't really healing. I didn't really have the tools. I didn't really know how to alchemize. I didn't really know what to do with this situation. I just remember feeling, and even, I mean, now I've dealt with it to the level that I'm okay with it now. But at the time, I just remember being a little bit regretful, thinking, why did I leave Abu Dhabi again? It was sunny. It was warm. I had this amazing job that I was traveling. I had so many friends. Like, I had the best people around me. I could do anything. Like, I literally was on top of the world. And I felt like I was then chucked into London, into the darkest depths of everything. And it was an extremely painful transition for me. And I remember feeling in London for the first 2-3 years, actually, that I was really out of place. Saying that, though, things started coming together when I got that job that I then also talked about in the very beginning, which was in the financial recruitment role. I had a few job offers, and this was the one that I was least likely to take because it was finance. I had some in marketing and different ones, but I chose this one for the people. I don't think I had at that point ever been so welcomed into a team as I was then. Like, I think I went in for like six different meets and greets before I accepted. And I think they even invited me to one of their company parties so that I could meet everyone in like a happy setting. And like they had me meet every single person. I felt so looked after. So I'm very grateful to them for how they treated me. I really needed it. I really needed it at the time. So I chose them. And I was working with them, and it wasn't always easy because finance for me was very difficult, but I managed and I made some really good connections, and I personally had a really great time. And I know that my clients and my coworkers, I'm still in contact with quite a few of them, and they do still really treasure and value me and look up to me and are very excited for the things that I'm doing now. So, I mean, I know that I did receive a lot of beauty from that. So I was definitely in the right place at the right time, even if it wasn't like the most logical, obvious choice for me. But to continue the story of London, so as I mentioned, it took like 2-3 years before I started feeling at home there. And this is, you're going to love this, Alexandra, specifically. I found this class because I was doing a lot of fitness class. I would go to Body Pump and Body Combat and all of these like Les Mills classes in the UK in a franchise called Fitness First. And on the schedule, I realized one day that they have something called Diva Fit. And I thought, what is this Diva Fit? That sounds sassy. And I joined in, and I literally went for the remainder of my 2-3 years of being in London. I was there every single day, and I became a diva, like in the sense that I did this Diva Fitness class and made connections, girls that I'm still in contact with today. And it really brought me back to life, because this is the first ignition that I had of female community, you know, females coming together and cheering each other on, females empowering each other, females being in the same space. And there isn't this competitiveness, there isn't this animosity. It's really like, we're there to work out, have fun, dance, and we'll cheer each other on whilst doing it. And that really shifted everything for me.
That's amazing. And it probably, like, didn't it, is that one of the reasons why you're doing also, like, why are you doing what you're doing today? The Wild Woman workouts?
It's nothing like Wild Woman workouts, but I believe that this is where the seed planted for everything. Because in some way, this is the time when I started recognizing that, oh, I can trust women. Like, in my life, I've had female friends, like one woman, and I've been able to trust them, and I've had really close friendships and relationships. But when it comes to like bigger groups or women that I don't know so well, I've had a very difficult time with them. And that comes also from me. I recognize that I have been very much. Like, I've been afraid of the connection because I'm afraid to being hurt as I was when I was a child. So I recognize that the wounding has brought through in my adult life, which has also made me not connect to other women. So this was my first encounter of women who don't really know each other, but you still can feel that sense of celebration of one another. And it was so pure. And yeah, and this is what I want to bring. And I recognize that this definitely is the starting point for all the things to come from that point.
Amazing. I think also, like, looking at the story you just shared, that, you know, coming from the Middle East and from a place that was sunny and full of light and there was so much excitement, going to London, sometimes I believe that life is bringing us to these really dark places for a reason, you know, because, you know, otherwise we won't, like, a lot of times we won't wake up, otherwise we won't change direction, you know, and you would probably not be where you are today because you wouldn't have, you know, started to look into yourself, you know, you wouldn't have started to look for, like, in the outside for tools to help you. And I mean, like, that's why I love the dark so much, because the darkness is what guides us a lot of times. You know, it's not the light, it's the darkness. That's what I feel, at least, that is guiding me a lot of times, and that has helped me so much to become the woman that I am today. Like, if you accept the dark and then move through the darkness to the light again, you know, but it's like this play in between darkness and light that I think that makes us grow. That's why I just love what you just shared, you know, that I think there was a reason behind it. It was no coincidence that life brought you there and that everything happened the way it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And also what's been really incredible with London, like, I look at London, I'm now saying, like, I love to go visit and I will love to go back, but I don't see myself living there. I mean, in terms of, like, location wise, it's great. Why not? But I'm a beach, sunny, tropical kind of woman at heart. So London was all sorts of wrong. But I have to say as well, London really also opened my eyes. I've always loved theater and performance and the music scene. And I feel like London really, it had all of these things. So I was also introduced to a lot of beautiful expressions. And also being able to then connect with all these people who are so passionate about something. And I do recognize that during my time in London, because, you know, I mentioned that flying and being a flight attendant was like my childhood dream. So I recognize that passion. I recognize that fire. I recognize that desire of doing something that you love. But in London, I didn't have that. I didn't know what my next passion was. I didn't know where I was going to put my focus on. And being still within that environment where there's so many artists, like actors and different artists and everyone, I feel it was also very empowering for me to just watch them and see how they're lit up. Like, it reminded me of how life can be, you know, and I thought that was really powerful as well for me at that time, even however dark it was. And yeah, I need to say, I mean, I do have some really incredible connections who I did make in London. So yeah, however dark London was, however many lessons I got, however painful they were, I've also come out with all this beauty in people and in experiences. So you're right.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm just curious how you found your new passion then.
After
leaving the old one and finding out that there is things like passion and there is a fire in you and there is some magic if you follow your passion. And
that's a beautiful question, huh? Like, in that moment you didn't know, but how did life guide you to this new fire inside of you?
So there's a piece of the puzzle that we haven't discussed yet. So when I left London, I actually went to LA. And when I was in Los Angeles, as I mentioned, I did social media and I started doing modeling. And for me, modeling, I'd done modeling already for a few years, but like just for fun and with friends. But in LA, I was able to do it a lot more because obviously the nature of the place, there's a lot of modeling gigs out there and a lot of acting, like mini acting jobs and music videos and everything. And I booked quite a few of them and it was such a great time. And I recognized this is when I started seeing as well that, okay, well, I love this. For me, the modeling side of things, which really sped up here. I recognized that I love being able to express myself with my body, being able to utilize myself as a canvas, being able to express myself as art. Art has been something that's always been beautiful to me and something that I've always been painting and I've always been expressive. But when I found modeling and started actually doing this, this is where I found my huge expression for my soul. And I really felt like I was portraying something deep within in emotion. And it was a difficult time because of the, again, my choice in connections, that my choice of surroundings with the people I was in, they were very minimizing towards me for a lot of the time. And it was very much like, well, you can't show this side of you. Like, nobody, why would you show your skin? Why would you show up as a model? Like, you're not a model. You're too short. You're too wide. You're too different as a normal model. So, I was around a lot of naysayers, and even if you don't believe it yourself, you start hearing it after a while, especially if you're insecure anyways, which I was. This is interesting because I actually kept doing the modeling and booking these jobs and getting a lot of praise and feeling really excited. But I found it very awkward to share these images with anyone. Like, I wouldn't post them. There was even a time, you'll laugh at this, there was even a time when I was using my Instagram, like when I got it, and I said, I will never post a picture of me. It will never be a photo of me. And I shit you not, like 99% of all the pictures are just me, if not even more. Like, there's like one picture in like 300 and that's not me, you know? So that was really funny. But at the time I was like, nope, I'm going to use Instagram for the artistry. I'm going to enjoy each other's photos, but I'm never going to post a picture of myself, because I felt so like it was so wrong to express myself using my body, like the most natural tool I had. And I mean, I still kept doing these things, and there was a part of me that started igniting, and there's a part of me that started feeling like whispering, like, this is right. You're doing this for you. This is expressive. This is your creativity. This is fantastic. You're loving this. Like, you're burning here. This is amazing. But I chose not to hear it because I wanted to be accepted. And it was really interesting because it was just like internal push and pull for a very long time. Until I, like, very loudly, again, a woman of extremes, very loudly started claiming my throne, started claiming my place. And in that relationship that I was, especially, that was a very jarring experience for us in the partnership, because I then became this very loud, very outgoing, very sharing woman, which was the extreme opposite to what I had been, just because I had tried to fit in. So this extreme of this oversharer almost also wasn't necessarily my natural state, but I was like trying to find my feet in it. And, you know, fast forward from that, I have found my feet in it. And yes, when you listen to me, you hear me talk, you ask me questions, maybe, I mean, a lot of people would think I'm an oversharer still, and that's fine, but I'm comfortable with what I'm sharing. At the time, I wasn't. So the things I would share, I'm like, oh, is that too much? No, I don't know. Whereas now I'm like, this is what I want to say, and you can choose to take it or not. So it's very different now. But so this is kind of, to answer your question, Christian, this is kind of how it all came to play, where I started recognizing that I can be an empowered woman. I just need to find my feet in it. Like, what type of woman do I want to be, and what is my natural state of being, rather than which extreme am I at today? So yeah,
what happened that you wanted to find out? Like, was there some special situation or incident that happened to think about these questions?
What do you mean, sorry?
The question, what kind of woman am I? So it's a very deep question, right? And at most times, from my experiences, life brings us to ask the question, and we don't ask it by ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, the question, I'm a very curious person. So for me to have the insight is very important. And if I don't have it, I feel a little bit at a loose end. So I really just want to know, and I want to know me, and I want to know my surrounding, and I want to know people, I want to know the situation, and I really want to try to understand it. And even if I don't understand it, I still want to know what's happening in it. So it became like a really natural thing. And I don't think I ever sat down and asked myself, what kind of woman am I, or what kind of woman do I want to be? I don't think I've ever really sat down to do so, but it's kind of, I've taken shape, and it's a process. It's been years in the making of me finding my feet. Because as I mentioned, and I keep coming back to this, like the extremes, I've tried all of the different hats and I've tried all the different things, and not necessarily consciously going out, okay, well, I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. It's more like that's just what I naturally have done. Like, incidentally, almost, I pushed myself into these places. I think I have had some, well, I can say that I've had some inner guidance, but it hasn't been very logical. Like, it hasn't come from a place of, I'm going to do it this way. It's more been that this is what my body has just craved. And I have gone to these extremes and somehow I have found where I've landed. Like, when it comes to being an outspoken, powerful woman, like, I have been on the arrogant side, but I have reined myself in to be humble, and I'm still empowering and I'm powerful and I'm strong, but I don't fall into the arrogant space according to myself. So, you know, it's like, it's almost been like I've been trying all the different shoes, and it's like I've been walking on a piece of string going to both ends and kind of landed somewhere where I feel like, well, no, this is what I'm comfortable with and this is my expression.
You know, the picture I just received is that when you described yourself as a child, you know, and even in your early teenage years, you were really shy and you really, you know, insecure. And I believe that, you know, the Charlotte that you are today, that is who you really are. You know, you're like this glowing diamond, but then you were pushed into a box, and you know, there were so many masks that you had to wear and so many layers put on top of it. So I feel like that it was just the path that you had to go also to find back to yourself and to remember. And sometimes we have to go into extremes. Like, you've been living an extreme also of being shy and insecure, you know, and wearing masks for everybody else and in adapting yourself. So I believe, like, whenever we want to find ourselves, a lot of times what happens is that we go into extremes first until we can meet in the middle again. And the middle is like, you know, that's, for me, that's, how do you say, that's where we are. Okay, now I'm missing an English word. That's like the healed part of ourselves, maybe, you know, where we are really aligned with our truth.
Yeah.
So I believe, like, living extremes is so necessary. Like, for example, if there's a person like me, I was never allowed to be angry. I was never angry. I couldn't even feel anger. And then what happened when I opened up for the anger is that I completely hit the other extreme. And I could not hold it back anymore. I was just angry, you know. I could flip out, really. I could freak out. And I couldn't hold it back. And I just had to remind myself also that it's okay. You know, this has been locked up for so long. It's okay to live the extreme for a while. But then it's also good to
come back
in the center. That's what I mean. You know, and find your center. And I like, looking at you and what you just said is, you tried on all these hats and you tried all the extremes, and you did that to, in the end, come back into the center, into your true essence, and to really find yourself and to become the woman that you are today. And I think you can only know that because you really tried it. You tried everything,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really life, beautiful. Right? Life is to experience ourselves in different colors and different shapes and different whatever. And you took it all. So in the brightest colors. Yeah,
it's true. And what I think is really beautiful now, like, if I look at where I am now, like, you know, that happy, calm medium, I don't want to say medium because medium to me sounds actually a little bit like mundane, but that center, as you said, like that centered place where I've tried them all. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I can get really angry. I can be absolutely ecstatically happy. Like, I have all of the range. It's not that, but I'm not like in any particular extreme constantly, in the sense of it being damaging to me. Like, I am quite extreme in my empowerment, and I'm very self-assured. So in that sense, yes, I'm extreme, but it comes from a very calm place. And what I've recognized in the last few years, which has been a huge revelation, is that when I'm now in this place of contentment with myself, I'm able to also experience depths of things that I haven't been able to experience before, because I can allow myself to go to different places, because I know that I always can come back to myself, to the center. And that's been extremely powerful and valuable to me, because before, I would be very afraid of hurt. I'd be very afraid of pain. I'd be very afraid of the exhilarating ecstasy of joy, because I knew that it was, or like, for that part, I knew that it was always going to end. But I know that that beautiful centered space that I can find myself in and that I'm living from is very nurturing. And also I can use that to go in different ranges.
You know what I love about it so much is listening to your story and what you just said. It's such an amazing, you know, equation to what you're doing today, you know, because, like, you've been living a turned on life. That is, like, completely you, you know, all your life you've been doing that. And maybe I'd love to, you know, how do you say that in English, to build the bridge to where you are at right now, and also, you know, what the work that you're doing is all about, because it is kind of part of that, huh? Also to turn the magic on and to live that kind of life. And I'd love to know, if you don't have another question right now, what do you mean by now today? Like, that would be my question. What is it for you today to live a turned on life? But what did you want to say, Christian? I'm sorry. Like, Christian has another question.
No, it's not a question. It's just an insight. Like, seeing in your story is like there is a transition or a change in it. Like, in the beginning, it was like living from outside to the inner side, and it changed to live from inside out. And it's from impression you got in the outer world to express yourself in the outer world. And it is like changing from thrill to depth, as you said. So it's a beauty of maturing, and it's a beauty of different phases in life. And
yeah,
I think it's pure beauty.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's stunning, Christian. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely. That's exactly how I feel. And yeah, it just feels extremely... I feel what's really incredible here is that I actually, for the first time in my life in the last few years, I feel wise. Like, I feel, you know, that maturity that you're talking about. Like, I feel like I have that wisdom, and I hold that inner knowing in a way that maybe it existed before, but I was too busy, you know, doing loads of different things that I never really stopped to look inwards. So as you say, I was looking outside instead of inside. So it's really empowering as well to just be able to know that I've got it. It's there.
And then maybe from here we can build the bridge into the empire. The empire of the creator of Superwoman and, you know, all the things that you're doing. And maybe you can build the bridge yourself. You know, how do you bring all of these amazing things, also like the turn on, into what you're doing today? And
absolutely, yeah. Yes. So it's so exciting, and you know, that juicy creative flame, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's amazing. I feel so aligned, and I feel so at purpose. And so what I'm doing as the creator of Superwomen, as a sensuality empowerment coach, is that I work with women to really support them, as you said, to turn their magic on. And what I mean by that is, in essence, I could say it in one word or two words, to be present, like being present to experience your life from the base, like from yourself, not from other people's projections, not the way society is telling you to live your life, but really being there and feeling that nurturing presence within yourself to then be active as well, like make active decisions. So how you want to live your life, how you want to experience your surroundings, like how you can intake all of these beautiful impressions and make them mean something to you. So something I was saying the other day when I conducted a masterclass was, you can enjoy cooking, or you can be turned on when you're cooking. And you know, you can enjoy cooking, and that's great. Like, I like cooking food. But then if you're turned on by you cooking, you're probably more present in that. You're mesmerized by the fact that you have these smells and this steam coming from the pan. You're so grateful that you've been able to purchase all these amazing produce, like the fruits or whatever you're cooking, or the vegetables, or, you know, you have this sauce, and, you know, you're standing by a stove, which is hot. And there's so much abundance in that moment of cooking. Like, it's so much more than just preparing a meal to eat. Like, it can be all of these things of abundance, of gratitude, of being present, of all the senses being tantalized, and of just really being there. And that, to me, is what makes your life a turn on, when you really start connecting these small things and making them greater.
I just love that, because I had an interview that I was giving yesterday, and there was a question about the turn on also, and I gave like similar examples about eating food. You can eat food, and you can eat food like as if it's in the biggest turn on. And like seriously, if I eat food in a really conscious way, it gives me a lot of pleasure, you know, like pleasure in my whole body. So I just love that I was like smiling inside. I was like, okay, this could have been me.
Yeah,
I love that.
But it's so beautiful, because it shows or it symbolizes also your whole journey in it. Like, you, as you said before, in the first phase, like as a flight attendant, you were thrilling, but you were not conscious enough to really get it, what you experienced. Mm-hmm. And now it is evolved to something that you can, you don't need a thrill. You can just, when you're fully aware and in the present moment, you can have it all in one single apple or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so, it's mesmerizing, really. It really is. And it has completely transformed my life to be able to be present. I have to say that. And it sounds really cliche, and it sounds like, well, if I'm, of course I'm present, I'm here. But no, like, I, for one, I can only speak from my perspective. I wasn't present when I was living my life.
Yeah, I got
reflective as well, because I recognized that even if I was living, I wasn't present in my life. And that's actually a really difficult thing to recognize, in the sense of it makes me, saying that actually makes me a little bit sad that I've been living all of these amazing lives and I haven't actually been present to experience them. That is actually, that's a very sad revelation. That's a very sad recognition from my side. And I feel like I now have been, for the last few years, since I've been having more tools to get to know myself, and I have grown to know myself, and, you know, there's still layers, there's still peels to take off. And this is why I find the work that I'm doing so gratifying for myself as well. Like, the more I support women in turning their own magic on, I feel like that also kind of works a bit of a stepping stone for me to find new ways of turning my magic on. And then I can help even more women, or these same women, in different ways. So it really is like this type of work that I'm doing. I feel like, yes, I'm doing it for others, but I'm also doing it really for myself. And I will say, I don't even feel, I know that how that potentially like a projection could be. And one thought that comes into my mind as well from a narrative that I've heard before is that, well, if you're not doing it for others only, it's selfish. But I don't feel like it's selfish, even if you're doing it for yourself at the same time, not just this, but with everything. And this is maybe a different conversation, but I feel like helping someone, supporting someone, and it also supporting and helping you, that can, that's only a win-win. I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. I love that. And you know what? It's an illusion that we think we do things for others only. Actually, in the end, we do them for ourselves.
It's true.
I had that realization, also, you know, that, you know what, if I'm really, really honest, I do everything I do for myself because I want to do it. Yes, I do it for others, but I want to do it in the first place. And I think that's just so many people that are like, oh, I do it for everybody else. No, I don't think that's true, you know? I think it's also true, but it's so much more true, at least for me, to say, no, I do it for myself. And it's fine. We're humans, huh? So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, my goodness. So I think if you don't have a question right now, I think I'd love to sum this up. And maybe, like, do you want to share right now what is, like, the one thing, you know, that you're doing these days, that you're doing right now to support women to live a truly magical, turned-on life? Like, what is it that you do right now?
So in terms of, like, my greatest offering that can support the most women in a really impactful way is that I have created and built an app called Superwomen Alchemists. And this app is a coaching platform, essentially, where you get access to all of me, you get access to all of the tools and the lessons that I have had and I have learned and I have brought on into my life to become the empowered woman I am today, from all of these extremes that we've talked about and the deep, deep depths of insecurity and despair that I felt for a very long time in my life, wishing that I had had these tools like 10 or 15 years ago. I have obviously learned so many things. I have also developed so many of these tools from my own core, from my own lessons, and I have brought them into this app where one touch of a button, when you're in, you can just access all of them. And I feel like this probably, you know, it is, I'm so proud of this platform, because we have all of the, as I mentioned, all of these tools, all this material in masterclasses, meditations, visualizations. We have my Wild Woman workout that we, I think, mentioned a little bit earlier when we talked about Devolution, like the Diva Fit, which is my own workout format, the dance classes, like all of these things. And I'll be bringing guests on. So Alexandra is going to come on later on, which is beautiful. And also the biggest part here, one of the big things that we talked about earlier is the sisterhood. So I'm creating this community as a sisterhood. So not only will you be taking part in all of these incredible lessons and tools that I have created and I have brought to you, but you can also be a part of this really empowering, supportive sisterhood. So essentially, I have created what I would have needed all these years ago. And it's really pouring out of my soul. So I'm very, very proud of it. And it just opened officially yesterday. So it's live.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Mm. Did you celebrate yourself yet for that? Did you even realize that?
I haven't yet, due to some of the news that we talked about yesterday. I haven't yet given myself the space to really like feel it. But I will. Like, I'm creating spaciousness for myself to really celebrate this next week, actually. Just because I have some other depths that I need to sit in for the time being, and there isn't enough space in my heart to take it all in right now. But next week I will celebrate it properly. It's going to be really beautiful, and it already is so beautiful. But yeah, this is where I'm at.
I love that. It's like so beautiful because everything you shared poured right into this, and it feels like for right now. Like the whole story is coming together there, you know, it's coming, it's beautiful. It looks like it, you know, everything needs to happen. So this could be created. That's how I feel like when you're sharing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Mm. And this is what I've been saying as well. Like I don't, you know, I was very, very, very angry of that, the toxic relationship I was in. And I was very angry at the man, and I was very angry at the situation. I was very angry at my choices for a while. And I am so at peace with all of these things now. And I have forgiven. I've also forgiven myself, which probably was the last piece of the puzzle, because I really didn't see my fault in all of this, which is ridiculous now, come to think of it afterwards. But at the time, I didn't see my fault. And seeing my fault was painful, and it was eye-opening, and it was, you know, very disarming in every way. But now here I am, I saw my fault and I have forgiven myself. And, you know, I'm grateful for all of these things. I'm grateful for all of these extremes. I'm grateful for all of these seemingly bad things that have happened to me. And I will always say bad thing. It's not bad things. Like it's just part of the puzzle. It's just part of my story. And as you say, they have helped me alchemize and create something so great that I feel so connected to, and really it's all coming through from my soul and my heart, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way.
That's absolutely amazing. Wow. I think there's nothing to be added, huh? To be added, it's just it's perfect. So we will definitely 100% put all the links to the app and to you in the show notes, definitely. And you know, just by knowing you, every woman who gets to be in your energy, to get to create with you, gets to work with you, can be so happy and so lucky because you're incredible. So to all the women out there, it's a huge shout out, really. There's hardly anybody that could be a better match, could be more perfect than Charlotte.
Thank you, honey.
So I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate the feeling is very reciprocated. And actually, something that I could say as well, of course, like this membership, it's all available for you. But in general, like if you wanted to access me, Instagram is where I hang out every single day. And there you will get these empowering thoughts and deep inspirations as well. And you can also reach out to me in person if you want to have a chat. I'm there. So Instagram is your free resource to connect.
Amazing. And we will definitely put that there also in the show notes. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing so openly and personally, you know.
Of course.
And so deeply.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored.
You're so welcome. And I hope you guys were inspired just the way we were inspired. And yeah, sending you lots of love. And
see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.